Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everybody. This is StarsCast, also known as Natalie. I'm the owner of StarsPsychics.com, and I welcome you tonight. And we're going to have an awesome topic. I kind of knew what it was about, but I really had to talk to our master about this, and that's Stars Maya Moon, but it's about defining spiritual hoarding. You've heard of people hoarding things, you know, in their houses and all that kind of stuff. Well, it must be kind of like that, but I'm going to let her start off and explain it to you because we have somebody that's called in, so I have to go take that call. So, Stars Maya Moon, take it away.
Well, welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you, as always. If you are a returning listener, we're glad to have you. If you're a new listener, we're also glad to have you. The chat room is also open or will be shortly. And we have many wonderful, amazing, awesome experts, including Stars Aeneas and Stars Priestess Candy. The other ones I'm not sure of. So if you're looking for one question or a mini reading, you would want to go into the chat room. The show is not doing readings. However, you are feel free to call 347-838-9736 if you would like to call in and comment on our topic this evening. Okay, spiritual hoarding, and a lot of people do know and some don't. So what I'm going to do is just do a quick analogy. Most of us have heard there was even a TV show about hoarders and animal hoarders. Generally, they start out like an animal hoarder, and that's usually cats. They start out their intentions are honorable, and they are wanting to rescue and help save animals that are on the street or are abandoned. What happens is that becomes an obsession, and it ends up that they're not even aware of how it transitions to the point where their homes are uninhabitable due to, I hate to be so blunt, but the overwhelming feces and urine. They can't keep up with it. The cats, they don't get them fixed, so they're constantly reproducing, and they're overrun, and their house is generally condemned. And when you try to talk with these people, they're not able to see the reality of the situation because they've become so accustomed to what they have created. And because it started out, and that's important for us to remember when we look at spiritual hoarding, because it started out as some type of mechanism that was actually from a good intention or a needed intention. Now, there's also hoarders that hoard things that some people hoard food, old, rotten, moldy food. And I do want to say that in some hoarding situations, there is an underlying psychiatric illness. So I'm not judging, and I'm not in any way trying to put down hoarders. I do want to be clear on that. But with a spiritual hoarder, what generally happens is, first let's rewind and go back to the beginning. Most of the time, a spiritual hoarding, first I should define it. Spiritual hoarding is when we don't allow our spiritual center, which is part of our emotional, it's part of, you know, the Trinity, the physical and the emotion, but does not allow us to express any type of emotion, reaction, interaction, encounters. Everything is kept cloistered inside. So we're hoarding it. except we're hoarding it inside. Anytime we hoard all emotions, it's just a domino effect, and it affects our spiritual being. We cannot be connected to the collective or the universal, nor can we be fully connected to our own spiritual core or center if we're not in some way to display, interact, and express ourselves to a degree. So if we rewind that and we say, okay, how does one become a spiritual hoarder? How does that develop? Well, there's a lot of different ways. Some is a tragic experience. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be a breakup that a person feels they were never able to get over. For some people, it can be passed down in generations of families. For example, families that are raised in an environment where their coping skills are, you do not show emotion. If something sad happens, you don't cry. Something bad happens, you don't get mad. When you are suppressed and oppressed, you learn to live within yourself, but it's not that true higher self. It's the darker side, not meaning darker as in evil, just a box inside yourself. So as that person grows up and matures, that has been their pattern, that has been their way, just like the hoarder started with 10 cats and was able to feed the 10 cats and was doing a good service, what started out to be good. So let's say you grew up in a family and for the sake of keeping peace, you didn't show emotion because that's how you were raised. This, we often see this in people that come from abusive homes, people that come from homes that addiction is a problem. But sometimes it can just be a trigger, can be one experience that can trigger that reaction. So how do we look at and define and describe the spiritual hoarder? It's a little bit like some people will call a person a hermit. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting time alone. I don't consider that to be not spiritually healthy. But the spiritual hoarder does not interact. For example, they go to the grocery store. Their heads are down. They don't make eye contact with anyone. If they're spoken to, they either mumble, look away. They do not allow themselves to project. So it's like that light inside, they've turned it off, and they don't allow anything to emulate from their energy. And as time goes by, that energy, which is our spiritual center, it never disappears because the light is always there for us to pull onto. But it does grow very dim, and it becomes harder and harder, as you can imagine, to step out of it. Just like if we look back to the example of the cat hoarder, this is absolutely true. This is not an exaggeration whatsoever. There are homes out there. I live in Arkansas, and Missouri is one of the biggest states for puppy mills, which is kind of a similar situation, except that's for profit, hoarders of animals. And they don't take care of their animals. Again, they started out doing it. But it's not uncommon for a person in a 1,000-square-foot home to house 75-plus cats. Figure it out. I mean, there's no way that you can keep that sanitary. I mean, it's impossible. And so it makes that home, okay, the physical home, uninhabitable, except the person grows so accustomed to it that they don't recognize it. And that's what happens with spiritual hoarding. As we become so accustomed to not showing any type of expression. So if I was in the grocery store and I was a spiritual hoarder and somebody came up in front of me and pushed me and said, "You're moving back, I'm getting in front of you in line," a spiritual hoarder would just step back. They would never say a word. They wouldn't look at the person. Every emotion, every part of their being is kept inside. They just go through the motions of daily life. And the more they do it, the more they become used to doing it, the more it becomes normal, and they lose that. I don't mean lose by they become detached from the world, as far as we all have a cord that we can't sever, but we're not in touch and we're not using the cord to strengthen our spiritual essence or energy. And the opposite of the hoarder is someone who would overreact and punch the person, and that's not good either. But spiritual hoarding is a lot more common, especially in today's world, because with the economy, with jobs, with the stress of situations, with the changes we've seen in this world, it's become, for some people, even as an adult, they were, as children and young adults, perhaps they were able to, you know, interact with people and let their emotions show and talk to people, share their feelings. Spiritual hoarders, even if they're a part of the family, they're someone that they will go to a family function, and if you were to question the family members, they would say, I don't know what he likes. I'm not sure what she does, because that person never shares any part of themselves. And the only way that we can renew and continue to allow our spiritual being to come forth is by sharing, and not just sharing personal information, but sharing our energy, which means looking at other people, smiling, being connected, being a part of the world. So spiritual hoarding is, if you want to say there's emotional illnesses, physical illnesses, and psychiatric illnesses, spiritual hoarding, my guides would say, would be a form of a spiritual illness that is not healthy for us, even though there may have been a time in our lives when it was the only way to survive. If you can imagine a child, which sadly that it happens, who is beaten, and, you know, we all hear the old saying, I'll give you something to cry about. I mean, unfortunately, there are families and there are children and people that were raised that way. So they grew up shutting down that emotion. And there's even infants. That's a little bit of psychology. It's called trust versus mistrust. And that's the first 6 months of life. And if an infant's needs are not met, if they're ignored constantly, then they grow up with what's called mistrust of the world, because that's when trust of life is established in the first 6 months of life. That's psychological trust. However, again, we have the Trinity or the Trine. Everything is interconnected. So if we have no emotional trust, then we have no spiritual trust either, and we close off our spiritual self. So with that, I'll see if Natalie is free and if she can join in.
I am free. We were talking about this prior to the show, and you mentioned that I'm probably the opposite. I open myself up spiritually for everybody. So you're saying, like, some people, they bring issues that they've had perhaps when they were children into the adult life, and it carries them, and that's how they get this hoarding kind of thing. That, is it a fear? Is it because they're afraid to open themselves up? Is that kind of what it is?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be. It can be just the result of life experiences, because some of us are more sensitive than others. But it happens a lot with people that come from very disturbing homes. And it's not so much a fear. It started out as a fear or a way of adapting to an almost unadaptable situation, but it becomes a pattern that, if you want to liken it to smoking cigarettes, it becomes a pattern where you're no longer thinking and then really enjoying. You're just doing it because that's what you've always done. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so there are not really fears involved with this. I mean, like, for myself, I mean, I save things that I attach myself to, but that's different. That's just holding on to items that it's hard to part with. It has memories, so it's not the same thing. But spiritually, I think, like for myself, I don't feel that I hold anything back. You're talking about being in line in the grocery store. You know, even in the grocery store, if I see somebody fumbling and not getting what they want or kind of, I'll go up and ask them, do you need some help? Like I work in the store. That's what I do. You know, and I don't see many people really doing that. Sometimes you will. And I always think, oh, geez, you know, maybe I'm too upfront, I'm too open, but I do that. I watch people all the time and want to see if I can do something for them. And even though I don't work, I'm not an employee, but it makes me feel good. But there are people, I guess, like you said, that you talk to them and they really mumble and they really, oh, no, I'm okay, like that kind of thing. I guess I probably run into those too. Yeah, I think so. That's a good example, really, about being in the store. If somebody said, oh, you need to get to the back of the line, I have to tell you the story when I went to get unemployment. And I was in Detroit, and I wasn't in a not-so-nice neighborhood. You know, it was really rough there. My son went with me, and this lady stepped in front of me, and I looked at her, and I kind of laughed. I said, oh, the end of the line is back there because you had to turn your forms in to get your unemployment. And she just stood there. And I said, excuse me. I said, you know, there's people behind me, and there's the end of the line. Well, the people behind me were standing up for me, but my son was with me. I was not worried at all. But that kind of thing, you know, asking somebody to do something, I mean, I stood up for her. So I guess even back then when I was very young and working at a tennis club, I even did things like that. I didn't let her push me around, and she was a lot bigger than me. But again, I guess there are people who would just meekly go to the, would just stay there. They would just stay there, wouldn't they? They wouldn't meekly go to the end of the line. They would just stay there and put up a fight about it, right?
Right. Or people that, like, if you've ever gone to the store or gone to a place and you can pick up the energy where the person is very concerned about their personal space, and if you forward, they step backwards. Have you ever had that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's almost like they show their shyness or something, like, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, sometimes, there are people that are just a little shy, but a true spiritual hoarder, they have gotten so used to this disconnect, okay, from everything that they cannot tolerate. It's like being ultra sensitive. It's like if your body was burned physically, you would not be able to stand somebody rubbing your arm if your arm was burned, if you had third degree or second degree burns, whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So the spiritual hoarder, they cannot tolerate anyone in their physical space, anyone looking at them. Obviously, I work in the business, so I can, you know, I have a leg up, you might say. I can tell when I'm out in the grocery store, and I'm like you. I mean, I'm not going to let anyone take my place in line. I'll duke it out if it takes that. No, I won't really fist fight, don't worry. But I don't, you know, I mean, and I don't necessarily, I wouldn't want a stranger to come up and put their arms around me. Heavens, no. That would be completely inappropriate. But it wouldn't bother me if the checker said, oh, you know, put her hand on my shoulder and said, I love that shirt. Let me feel that material. That would not upset me. A spiritual hoarder would just absolutely flip out because they cannot
take
that.
They would step back. They would step back from that person and get this look like, how dare you? I mean, you can't be that close to me. I think there's probably a lot of people out there. Now we're all going to be watching people that we come across and see how they are.
It's
you know, they're talking in the chat room right now, which is really good. I love to see that. Candy said, I'm proud of you for reaching out, Natalie. Well, it's just what I am, and like you, don't you think, though, there are people that love to help and there are people that just don't know how and they can't? But the spiritual hoarding, that is really unique, and I never thought of it that way at all.
Well, it's what my guides teach, and, of course, you know, my guides are just my guides and my teachers. That doesn't mean that – everyone has to resonate with this or see it this way. But what they share with me, and they shared this, they gave me a vision, actually, when I was watching a show about hoarding. And my guides often do this. They will urge me to watch a program, and usually it's something I'm interested in anyways. And all of a sudden, it's like they stop me and they start channeling and they show me, give me images or such, and they told me what the way they explained this to me is that they said this is the biggest psychic disease or spiritual disease that exists within humanity at this time. Now, they say 100 years ago, this was not true. This was not the biggest, we had the, what was it, in the 80s, I guess AIDS was the big thing. You know, everybody thought that, you know, I mean, and now people are living for years and years with that. And, you know, they're working on cancer cures all the time. So every millennium or every century, what have you, has its thing. But they say that in the last 10 years probably, that spiritual hoarding has become so severe for so many people for many reasons, again, from childhood or it can start in adulthood, that it is the number one spiritual illness and that it is so detrimental because it's like taking your spirit and just crumbling. Think of your spirit as this white, you know, burst of light. And then imagine taking that beautiful light and putting it in this tiny dark box and keeping it there.
You're like smothering it. You're not allowing it to produce.
Right.
Yeah.
And so for those that are you know, if you find that you are a spiritual hoarder, it's important that you recognize that and you start, and you have to go slow. It's not something that you can go, like from you, Natalie, you can't go from being a spiritual hoarder to saying, oh, can I help you? Hello, will you be my friend? I mean, you have to really start slow to reconnect. And once you do, then you can feel life. But they usually feel they've cut themselves off and it's become such a pattern that they just don't feel any emotion. They don't have really empathy. So it's almost, if you can imagine a person without a soul, that's hard for me to imagine because everyone has their soul. But it's like that. They just don't connect. They don't feel. They don't. And there's a lot of people that are struggling. Now, people that say, well, I'm in pain or, you know, this has hurt me terribly. Obviously, they're not spiritual hoarders, but they can become that because of the pain. So you have to be careful if you are suffering from a divorce or a loss or a breakup or losing your home or losing your job. You have to be careful, and the best way that you can avoid spiritual hoarding is by sharing. And it's not always about sharing your personal story. It's just sharing, like what you do, Natalie, you know, helping people at the stores or, you know, anything, helping a neighbor, a friend, whatever. That is sharing our spiritual energy. That is sharing ourselves. And that unifies us and keeps us from being spiritual hoarders.
Ah, so what about when I was young, and I can only relate to myself, what about when you're really shy and you don't interact, you kind of, and all of a sudden, I think maybe it was part of the business that did it for me, or recognizing that I could gather and direct, I guess. It started way back for me because I was shy too, and I'm thinking back here now. You know, in school, I was really shy. And somebody just asked in the chat, are there readers in chat now? And I want Candy to announce that she is doing mini readings, if she will, because I don't have time to type back to this gal. I mean, I can multitask very well. But anyways, why do you think that I went from being shy to, I mean, I think I'm pretty well open. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And nothing really happened to me.
Well, probably because you may have been in an environment where you weren't given a lot of nurturing, but you were not in an environment where you were completely oppressed and not allowed to show any emotion. You just weren't given a lot of attention. So your shyness was more social inept and lack of social skills as opposed to being a true spiritual hoarder. Does that sound like it
might fit for you? Yes, I was left by myself. So maybe that was part of my shyness because I wasn't around. I didn't have brothers and sisters, and I didn't, I mean, there was like three of us that kind of grew up together in the neighborhood, but I, looking back now, I realize that I really was pretty shy. I mean, I'm not now. I can do an about face and be shy if I have to, I guess.
Well, ask yourself this. Okay, when you were shy, that's a really good point. So for listeners, pay attention to this answer. One of the ways that we can differentiate between are we just shy and a little bit more sensitive individuals versus spiritual hoarder. In your case, Natalie, you were shy, but did you have the desire when you were shy to not be shy?
Did I have the desire to not be shy?
I mean, like,
no, I don't think. It was just the way I was, but, you know, I was an only child. You have to remember what my life was like. I kind of fend for myself, you know. I did my own thing, and I really think as a young girl, like even 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, my feelings got hurt easily. But I overcame all that, and I think it was just my sense of purpose kind of took over my life. I was made to realize that I could do more, it just happened for me. I didn't work on it at all because I didn't even know what it was. You know, I just grew up and did my own thing.
See, what I'm picking up from you is you were shy, and you may have had a little bit of insecurity because you didn't get the attention, but if you could have had things differently, you would have. You were not pulling away. You just didn't know how to go in. So maybe that's a better way of putting it. For people that
But I was also very fortunate, though, Maya, that I had somebody, a mother across the street. I was friends with her daughter. She kind of took me under her wing, and she nurtured me a lot, where my mother worked all the time. And so I think that's what probably really helped me. But I think I was still shy then. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a pushy kid at all. I don't know, but it's unique when you look back to when you're little and you realize like maybe something really did happen to you that caused you to feel this way. And that, you know, like maybe for me, I don't recall anything that ever really happened to me though. I mean, I was, you know, I don't know, but I turned out okay, I guess.
Yeah, a spiritual hoarder, that's not going to be their story. They're going to have to recognize and they're going to have to work to undo that damage. And when you talk about you don't remember something that happened, there's a lot of us that have memories that we repress. And my belief, and again, this is just my belief, it doesn't make it true for everyone, but my belief is that although I am an advocate for therapy and counseling, I personally, along with my guides mentoring, I do not believe that going to a therapist for 8 years and reliving every horrid thing that happened to us does a darn bit of good. I believe that sometimes we have to talk about how we're feeling now about life, and spiritual hoarders have to learn to start connecting. But if you came out of it and it just more or less you blossomed, then you were just shy. And there's a big difference between being shy or being what we call an introvert. An introvert is not the same as a spiritual hoarder any more than an extrovert is the same as a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. But I think some people that are listening, we have quite a few in the chat room, can maybe relate to like how I was. And And, like, for example, how I am, like, in a store. I mean, I'm the first one. And you know what else I'll do? If I can recall one time one lady, she had really pretty, beautiful white hair. You know, she was just really gorgeous. She really was for her age. She had a red hat on and a red dress and a beautiful purse. I went up to her, and I said, excuse me, I said, can I tell you something? And she said, well, sure. I said, you just look so beautiful. And she looked at me, and she grabbed my hand, and she says, oh, my gosh. She says, nobody's ever done that for me. And I said, well, I did, you know. And it made me feel, I walked, and she gave me a hug. She said, you just made my year. And she said, oh, I don't know, maybe you made my life for me, because she said, I just put this on because I love it. I said, well, you look very beautiful in it. And she really did, and I was sincere. So I do that all the time. And so maybe that's, you know, something for people to take note of that, but it's just a giving part the way I am. So I guess, you know, spiritual hoarding is like, it's hard to relate to that, I guess, but it can be a real issue for people, correct?
Yes, and people that are if you're listening or you know someone that you think is a spiritual hoarder, don't expect that they can, you know, moth to butterfly like Natalie, because she was not a spiritual hoarder. She was just as shy, a bit of an introvert as a child, and then she blossomed into a loving, generous person. But the true spiritual hoarder has to begin very small steps, and that's making eye contact, being able to stand, go places that are crowded. Usually a spiritual hoarder will, for example, go to the grocery store when they know no one's going to be there. They will avoid every bit of contact, every type of expression. They don't react. I mean, you could literally walk up and wallop them in the face, and they would keep walking. That's not normal.
Yeah, and now we can understand when we see people that do this, what's really going on with them. And in a way, I kind of feel bad for them, because they are missing out on so much, and they just need people, and especially people that are listening, like you said, if they know people that seem to have some of these signs, to show them and allow them to be, it's a way of stepping out, kind of, isn't it, Maya? I mean, you've got to, first of all, look at somebody and maybe give them a nice smile, you
right.
know, and then maybe you'll end up doing something else, and pretty soon it'll be more and more. I mean, I don't hold back at all. I mean, I see people all the time, and I didn't know really what it was, but they act like that. Then that's what they are. They're spiritual hoarders. A lot of people are like that. I'm sorry to say, they really are. That's tough. They make their world very hard for themselves. And but then they might look at me and think, God, doesn't she ever stop doing that? Or, you know, I'll introduce myself on the field. I was at the soccer field with my granddaughter. I went up to this lady because her daughter was there, and I said, "Oh, my granddaughter's playing. My name is," and grabbed, you know, shook her hand, and she stepped back because she would not have done that to me. So I think maybe it's good. It makes me feel good that I'm making a difference with all these people, right?
Hey. Yeah, yeah, and we can do that for those of us that are not spiritual hoarders. If we're able to recognize that, we can try. We just have to be careful that we don't upset their balance.
Well, you can't go up and give a stranger a big, huge hug and expect they're going to pull away from you. Most people will pull away, but you can take little tiny steps. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's good.
Yeah,
and you know what
else?
I recognize people that I know, and I'm going to use this soccer field as an example. I was sitting in my chair, and this one lady came up, didn't come by me. She went by my son and my daughter-in-law. She totally bypassed me. She knew me, but she didn't say hello to me. And I sat there, and I thought to myself, well, you know, you could do one of two things. You could just sit here and just watch the game, or you can make a big deal out of it and go up there. Because she gave them hugs, but she totally ignored me, and I was right in front of her. Well, I decided not to do anything. And what happened was, is I stood up, and she looked me right in the eye, oh, hi, and gave me a hug. Now,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, and she's known me for a little while. I'm not somebody brand new that she just met. And I, that person, for example, she just gave me this feeling of, well, she's not somebody that I truly like a whole lot. I mean, I wouldn't choose her as my friend. But I think she has another agenda always. She's always thinking. And then this other lady that I've known longer than this one, works at a cardiologist's office. She came up to me first. She said, hey there, girl, how are you? Just like that. Well, I sat up in my chair and I thought, okay, Kathy. See, she's not a spiritual hoarder either. So what was wrong with this other woman? Is she a spiritual hoarder?
No. Because
she's
she would not have been able to hug you at all. She was just a bitch. Oh, sorry, I forgot I'm on the air.
Well, she has another agenda, and I said something to my son. Oh, excuse the friends, that's all. I said something to my son, and he said, well, a lot of people don't really like her. And I said, I'm telling you, she's always got something up her sleeve.
That's the bottom line, is she knew that your energy somehow, whether she knows you personally enough to know that you run and own and are the light, of course, we all love, of stars. But she may have sensed, you know, our energy. I talk about animal communication all the time and that how much I learn from my dogs. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I learn so much about humanity watching my animals interact. They teach me so much. But they communicate psychically, spiritually, however you want to put it, so much more than humans. I guess that's because they don't have a verbal language like we do. I mean, they bark and they have posturing and stuff like that. But I mean, they don't sit there and say, "Hey, how about a biscuit for old Granny here?" You know,
right?
Or you know, "Hey, I'm hungry. How about an extra bowl of that good dog food?" But if you watch their interactions, their looks, they communicate. So what I would say is that person is aware that you're kind of on tour because of your light.
I think so.
Light.
I think I generate something, and she
exactly.
She probably doesn't like to get too close to me because then she's going to give herself away because she doesn't really know. She knows a little bit about what I do, but she stays away on purpose. She does it all the time, and I was waiting to see what she was going to do.
Feel that. She's avoiding you, and it may be, too, I mean, it could be, you know, light burn those that aren't light. And when I say that again, I'm not talking about necessarily evil, but those whose intentions are not always quite so honorable, who you said she has another agenda.
She does, yeah.
And it just may be that she's competitive or that she wants to come across a certain way. And so your light, it's almost like it almost burns her, is the feeling, except it's a psychic.
Yeah, so that's why she doesn't come close. Yeah, yeah,
correct.
Yeah. But
correct.
I don't, now, but could she be a spiritual hoarder, though?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I wonder how a person like that would react, like, in a store.
No,
right?
Well, no, because you a spiritual hoarder wouldn't be able to hug anybody unless they were coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
And what I would see with her in the store is being a bully. That's just my
and that's what she tries to do. Yes.
Okay, so that's not a hoarder, that's a bully.
You know, and I just sat there, and then, like I said, the other one came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, kind of grabbed me. She says, "Hey there, girl, how are you doing?" And I've known her a really long time. Very sweet. Very works in the medical field. That's why. See, she's not shy, and she gives of herself. And but you know, it just makes me want to hug more people and smile at more people that have a little bit of a problem with that, because it's a good thing, you know, because it makes them feel good, even if it's for a second, because they'll walk away and think, now, wow, I just got a smile from that woman over there. I wonder why. Gee, that kind of made me feel okay. And the more they get that, the better it's going to be for them, I feel. I don't know. I'm not going to stop doing what I do at all. I'm going to continue being what I am. But I think, Candy said something. She could be afraid that you will see what's inside of her. Oh, you're probably right, Candy, because she knows I have her number. I told my son about it, the lady that I'm talking about. Candy just sent me a message about it. And they're listening in the chat room, and they're talking back and forth, and this is really good. This is what I want. And I want to make note, just interrupt you just for a minute, that, you know, everybody should know that I have a magazine called Mystic Living Today. Well, one of my participants that she sends me, you know, recording artists, information and promotions and press releases and all that, she listened to the radio show last week. So even though people are not in the chat room, we have people listening, and she told somebody else that told somebody else. So I just want everybody to know how great the show really is doing, and I think it's a good thing. And so what she said was she loved our interaction, how we talked back and forth. Well, gosh, we talk on the phone, and we could do this for hours, actually.
Right.
But back to spiritual hoarding. I do take us off the subject sometimes, I know.
Well, that's okay.
That's
okay.
What's good about the show.
Yeah, it is. It is, because everything spiritual is interconnected, and you should do what you're doing. And, you know, and for those out there that are listening, if you tried, for example, you have a neighbor or a coworker, and you notice that person is very solitary, and that's another thing. Not that all people that work in loner jobs, I'm not trying to group people together. What I'm saying is that a spiritual hoarder won't be found working in customer service, for example. They're going to be
right. The
kind that work alone. So if you work in an office and you've noticed that there's a male or a female and they always eat at their desk, they avoid going to the water cooler, you know, joke thing. Or,
yeah, they
you
stay
know,
alone.
They stay alone. You know, you can try to make overtures, but be very, very, really try to calm your energy. And
yeah, especially
like
mine.
Natalie, you would be really bubbly, so you might be too much for a spiritual hoarder.
Yeah.
You're
God,
great.
Where is she coming from?
So,
no, it's true. It's what I got used to doing. Started at a small club, then went to a big club. And I just walked everywhere and talked, said hello to everybody I met, always, always. And, I probably would be too much for a person like that. And I don't think I would set it so that I would be determined to make them come to see that it's really fun with the group at the table here. You know, we have a good time. Do you think sometimes those people think that they're going to fail if they put themselves out there, that they're going to fail at it? Could that happen?
Well, that you know, it's like everything. Everything is a process. Nothing really happens overnight.
Right.
When we have a soul transition, we go through the transition. So what happens is if a person is transitioning, let's say this is a later in life occurrence, then that's true. They could be brought back easier. But if someone, it's something we have to look at, you know, I'm a big one on our ancestral lineage and our ancient DNA. And if our DNA has followed us throughout history, meaning our parents, grandparents, if they've always been loners, if you were raised in a family where no one showed emotion, for example, I know and deal with clients, families that, you know, a family of three and the brother was killed and the parents say, we never say his name again. And they loved that son. They loved that child, but that's how they dealt. And when it comes to anything that has been disruptive, harmful in our life, what what I have been taught, and again, these are only my beliefs, is that the secret, keeping that secret, is worse than the actual deed that was done. And so for a lot of them, they do feel afraid and insecure, and if it becomes such a pattern, they don't know how to get. It would be like if you were in a maze and you just looked at it, and let's say you didn't have your glasses and you wore glasses, and you thought, well, I can't see, how do I get out of here? So that's how a spiritual hoarder feels. They may deep yeah. down want to get out, but they don't know, they can't find the way. So we help them by softly greeting them if there's someone that's close to us. And also they have to work by expressing. And acceptance is something that a lot of times they possibly not accepted when they were young. It could be, they could have been bullied. They could have been made fun of. For example, my father was a Baptist minister, and I grew up in the woods and hills of Kentucky. And my family, my traceable, meaning my grandparents and great-grandparents, they were all Southern Baptists. They were all country folk. They all had farms. They had, you know, dairy cows. They grew tobacco. I mean, I was your typical preacher's daughter farm girl. And my father was only past 6 months, and my mother married someone that she had known from years before and moved us from the soggy bottom of Kentucky, I mean, the Kentucky-West Virginia border, to mid-smack downtown Chicago. So here I was with a hillbilly accent, wearing dresses, because that's what you wore in Kentucky. You wore a dress to school, and I got made fun of and bullied a lot, and so that event could have easily turned me into, you know, feeling that I was not accepted and insecure and that I was different.
Right.
Luckily, you know, I was able to manage for that not to happen. But yes, it can be fear of not fitting in. Or you know, what I tell people that are spiritual hoarders is that you would be surprised, especially if you start with your family, if you can possibly, or people that you know or get to know, you'd be surprised how your opinion, even if it's different, you know, even saying, I read the book such and such and I enjoyed it, just make a statement that has to do with the feeling, and that can help start to bring you back. And each little step you take, then the box gets opened and that soul inside gets brighter and brighter and brighter until you're reconnected and, you know, you're able to be who you really are meant to be, because we cannot reach our potential in any way, shape, or form without our spiritual being intact.
Right. Yeah, you have a nice way of putting it, too, and that makes a lot of sense. Really does. So I'm going to continue being really, I think I know when people are a little, they don't want you to be too close to them, but sometimes I'll just smile at them and I'll say hi, especially if there's a lot of people walking around or stuff. I know, I watch people, and I have to use the soccer field again because there's all kinds of people, all different kinds, adults, kids, walking all over the place. But the adults, sometimes I find myself watching them to see, you know, how they react. And there's a lot of spiritual hoarders, I can tell you. I just noticed it on Saturday, maybe because, you know, you decided on this topic and I started looking around and realizing it. And, they're missing out on a lot, but they'll learn. They'll come through. They'll all come through. It'll be good. I believe
yes.
there's good in everybody anyway, so that's just how I am.
I do too, and I don't believe.
And I'll help them any way I can if they will sit and listen and take what I'm saying to heart, and because that's where it's coming from. If I talk to you about something that's coming from my heart and my soul at the same time, so You know, you can believe it's real. It's very, very real. But, you know, there's not that many. You know, I'm lucky to have a lot on stars that are very open, and some are shy in some areas. But for the most part, I'm quite impressed what have been gathered for the site, and I have to use that because I know that the very, you know, most of all. And it's a good thing. I know sometimes some of them are, and I can use them as examples without saying their names, is if I have to call them for something, and they'll just say, "I'm so glad you called." And sometimes I'll say, Well, why? Well, because it's your voice. You just bring so much in your voice, your energy. And when they say that to me, I think to myself, they must not think that they do that because they recognize it with me. But in fact, that they really do, and maybe I encourage them by acting that way with them. I'm not acting, but being that way. And I've noticed it with some of my stars, you know, and but it's really something, isn't it? Spiritual hoarding. I mean, I'm kind of glad I'm not like that. How about you, Maya?
Oh yeah, I'm more like you. I'm more. I've got a real silly side.
yes, I know.
and for you, those of you that don't know, I love to make up songs, and I love Miss Natalie so much that I'm always making up songs
yes.
for her. So, and I can't carry it. Yeah, I can't carry a tune, and that makes it even funnier. But no, I agree. When I go out, and I think for a lot of us that do this type of work, we work from home. excuse me, and so we can be a little bit introverted.
Yeah,
but not in the same way as a spiritual hoarder, because we're always sharing our spirit through our work. But we can be introverted. But I know when I go out, which isn't very often, but I do. I mean, you know, maybe go out to dinner or do whatever. I mean, I'm like a monkey out of its cage. I mess with everybody. I say hello. Now, I never do it in an invasive way or maliciously to try to hurt anyone, but I'm like you. If I see a necklace, I'm like, I love your shirt. I love your necklace. In fact,
yep.
You know,
I do the same thing, and it's good.
It is, and I took my son. You know, I told you I had to help him get a different car because the car that he had was having issues. So I took him to the place, and the women, just to be clear, I am married, all the women and came up to me and gave me hugs, and the one girl, and, you know, she isn't a model, I'm just going to leave it at that, but I loved the shirt she had on, and her name is Gina, and I don't think she would mind, I don't think she's listening, but anyways, I said, Gina, I'm into the tunics. I love that, the colors that look so good on you. And like what you said, her whole face lit up. Let's just say that her body type may not be the type that receives a lot of compliments. But see, I didn't
exactly
see that. I saw the beauty of her spirit and how colorful. And
yes,
my son said to me, he goes, "What is with you?" He goes, everybody here, all these women, I mean, the men, some of them knew me, they change out a little bit more, but the women, like the bookkeeper, the manager, the assistant manager, they've been there for years, and all of them, every single one, oh, you know, it's so great to see you, you know, we missed you, you know, and he goes, gosh, what do you come over here all the time? And I just said, no.
No, you're
like a
ball of fire when you come in. You're like, you lighten up the whole place. How can they not be?
It's just the connection. They always know. I can't say it on the air, but when we go up the air, I'll tell you the little side joke that the girls and I said to the girls, and they bust a gut over that, but they know that they never know what's going to come out of my mouth, and nothing vulgar either, but just funny stuff. So they really do enjoy it. So I know we're going to be wrapping up the show, And
always so much fun talking to you, and I hope all the listeners enjoy our talk. I think it shows them a little bit more of what we're like and what we represent, and hopefully everybody out there can try a little harder, those who are not spiritual hoarders, but those who are kind of like outgoing, although I can still be shy. If I have to, I can be. It's not as though I'm like this every moment of the day, but I really can be. It's whoever I come across. But if you can help those who are having difficulties, I think it would help to make a better world. And how much nicer can that be? And, I mean, you're doing something wonderful. It's not going to hurt you. It doesn't cost a dime. Do it in love, and there you go. It's a beautiful thing. And I have to thank Candy. She's in there. And we had some guests. We had quite a few guests, which is good. And, Stars Priestess Candy, everybody knows her from Facebook and Twitter. And she just goes everywhere, and she does a lot for Stars. And, of course, Stars Maya Moon writes for the blog practically every day. She does the magazine. Please check out the magazine, and please go to starspsychics.com. That's Stars with a Z. There's a lot of wonderful stuff there, a lot of beautiful people that all you have to do is click on it, click on the chat, and talk to them, and you're going to be enlightened, I guarantee it. I have really, really a great bunch of people. So, okay, Maya, I'll let you say your goodbyes now, and I love everybody, of course. Everybody knows Natalie loves everybody. She's just, that's what I'm about. So, okay, go ahead, Maya, say your goodnights.
Okay, well, I want to... Of course, my dog just decided, hey, I want to thank everyone, and I agree with Natalie that all of us that are extroverts, we should all try, you're not going to want to go running up to somebody and grab them and say, it's okay, come out of your shell, but smile, give a compliment. Those things mm-hmm. can make such a major difference. Every time we share our spiritual energy and we give out, whether intention or action, it's always returned to us times 10. So when we give of our spirit, we get that return to us in some way, shape, or form. So I appreciate everyone for listening, and I enjoyed the talk, and I'll see you next Monday.
Okay, we'll be here for another interesting topic. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be, so it will be a surprise. So everybody have a really good evening. And Candy knows she's loved very much. She knows that. And the guests, I'm so happy that you got to come in and listen. And come back next week, 7 to 8 p.m., and you'll be able to hear us again. We'll probably have Stars Jamie's back. I'm not sure. So with that, I'm going to say good night. Enjoy your evening. Bye-bye. I love you, Maya Moon.
Bye. Love you, too. Did you hang up?